Welcome to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church. Your Bible teacher today is Pastor Jesse Wagoner.
Question. If you're married, what do you do next? What do you do with that to start with? But what do you do next? Well, we know one next, which is her visit to see her relative that was mentioned and called out by the angel Elizabeth. So we know she makes that trip, but how do you handle that? A promise delivered, a promise received, but not yet fulfilled. Well, I want to suggest to you that that is not unfamiliar territory to any of us. We have received great and glorious promises, some and many have been fulfilled to us. But in this life, in this present life, we occupy a particular space. A space between promise delivered and promise fulfilled. And let's just be honest with ourselves. It's just us here this morning. That space that faith fills is sometimes difficult. This thing of faith for us as humans, we have some difficulty with that. Because we've received promises, got it. But we're still waiting on the fulfillment of those promises. You think about the things that we ask other people to believe as we go out and proclaim Christ to them. We tell them that there is a God who exists, an eternal God who exists. And by the way, you can't see Him. And this God made everything that exists out of nothing. And He did it by just speaking words. Now, you and I are comfortable with that truth. Most of us as believers, we're very comfortable with that truth. But you think how this sounds in the ear of someone who's hearing it for the first time. And then that God became a man. That God was conceived and born of a virgin. And then later, that God, man, allowed Himself to be killed by men. And He didn't stay dead, but 3 days later, He came back to life. And then later, He was transported from this earth back to heaven, and someday He's coming back to this earth. That's what we call people to believe. There's a high bar of faith in from the human perspective. And then there's the things for us. Things like we're promised that God says, I will never leave you. But there are those moments when we feel particularly and drastically alone. The Word of God tells us that God is a God of infinite power, and that power has been given to us. And there's moments that we feel very weak. And then there's the paradox of when we're weak, then we're strong. How does that work? In that land between promise delivered and promise filled is where we operate in faith. We're told such things in Scripture as that He is going to change us. He is going to remake us into the image and the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we'll ultimately be Christ-like in every aspect of our character and our being. But you know what? It seems like it's a long time coming, and sometimes we're just stuck. We are told that when we'll die, we'll live forever. We're told that in the Scriptures that He's in control of everything, but sometimes life seems markedly out of control. I call you to this. Between the final promise and the final fulfillment, we do reside in this land of faith, right where Mary is at this juncture. So the question is, how can we ensure that our faith indeed is broadening, stretching, growing? Well, I want to suggest to you that there's five actions that you see taking place in Mary's encounter with Elizabeth. And I want to encourage us to think our way through these steps that she takes. And I would suggest to you that if we put this into play into our lives, that we will see our faith enlarging and growing. Because don't you agree? It needs to in this land that we live between faith, between promise and fulfillment, this land that we call faith. It tells us in verse 39, her first reaction that's recorded in Scripture, although you have to understand something had to take place before this. It says 39, now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah. Usually we think in chapter 2, Mary and Joseph go down to a city of Judah by the name of Bethlehem. They were living up in the northern part of that land known as Galilee and Nazareth, so they go down. By the way, remember this, that was not Mary's first journey during this time to Judah, down into Judea. She makes this trip, and she's going to see Elizabeth. But now, prior to that, she's had to do some processing to get to this. What am I going to do? I'm going to go see Mary. What would you do? I mean, she's going to have to tell Joseph something, or her mere silence is going to stand out. By the way, I'm going to be gone for a while. See you. And we would assume that more than likely her parents, or at least one parent, was still living at this point. What do you tell them? What do you tell your extended family? How did she make this journey? Did she go by herself? Did someone accompany her? Did she go with a caravan of strangers? It's about a three-day journey on foot at best, about a 90-mile trip. We don't know, but somehow she factors into her thinking some serious consideration. This is the first step. Our belief grows by some serious consideration about where we are in life. She has to stop, and she reaches a conclusion. I'm going to go to my relative Elizabeth's house down in Judea. I'm going to make this trip, and we'll talk about some of her obvious motivation in that. But she had to stop and think, where am I? What am I doing? What's this all about? I kind of think, as I imagine it, most of us in a situation anyway similar to Mary is going to say, the angel goes away and just say, did I really see what I just think I just saw? Or do I need to go have some serious therapy somewhere? I mean, is that real? Can you believe it? Can you trust in it? Can you take that to something that is going to enlarge and grow and land us in a place of faith? Or something else? So she stops and considers. We talked a little bit about this last week, but I want to just go over it again. That this is a good spiritual exercise every once in a while. Just to take a moment and ask yourself the question and make sure you can answer it. What do I know to be true? Just start with the basics. I exist. Okay, here I am. I'm here. I'm X number of years old. I've lived this life. I'm located in this particular geographic location. This has been my life experiences. This is by whatever descriptions you want to describe your life. And then as a believer, we have to come back, well, there is a God. Without a creator, I don't exist. So there is a God who made me. I know that to be true. I am here. God is real. But also, our consideration takes us to this place. There's something fundamentally wrong with me. Welcome to the human race. There's something fundamentally wrong with all of us. Morally, I have violated the standards that God has set repeatedly. I have this tendency to do the wrong thing. I struggle with temptation. Then we reach the conclusion, well, yes, there is a God. I am His creation. There's something flawed in me morally. But I also know that God has sent a Savior. And the Scriptures declare His name, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, as we consider where we are and who we are, we need to take a good look at the Scriptures. And if you're a believer in the Scriptures, and we certainly have access to the Scriptures, and you've come to a church on a Sunday morning in December, that says something about your interest. Then you have a wonderful advantage to know these things. And a Savior that tells us that if we will believe in Him, that we can have everlasting life, and He will come in and be with us and change us and ultimately remake us in character just like the Lord Jesus. These things are true. Are they true in your heart and your mind? Do you believe them? Are you clinging to them? Are you claiming them? Every once in a while, you just need to stop back and say, where am I? And then you can factor into that whatever the particulars of your life. I'm facing a challenge. I'm facing growing older. I'm facing a question. I'm facing the disappointment in life. Whatever it is, wherever you are. Lord, where do you factor into this? Just to allow some consideration. We are so busy people that sometimes thoughtful consideration of where we are before the Lord never happens. Is anyone else besides me shocked that this is the second Sunday in December already? How did we get here? It's soon going to be 2019. How did that happen? Just bam, life just goes on in a frenzied blur. Take some time out of the frenzy to contemplate and consider the things you know to be true. She does, and then she acts upon it. Verse 40, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And Elizabeth and Mary have a conversation. Why is not, this is a trick question, why isn't Zacharias saying anything when Mary shows up? It's because he hadn't said anything for 6 months, and he's not going to say anything for 3 more months. Because when he came to his moment of faith between the promise of John the Baptist being born and conceived when he and his wife were at old age, past childbearing years, He said, well, what sign do I know these things to be true? Here's the sign. You're not going to speak till they're fulfilled. And he hadn't said a word since. Well, I don't fault Zacharias too much. I've been where he is more times than I would care to admit to you. But Mary and Elizabeth stand out as people that considered their situation and acted in faith. Number two, not only serious consideration, but secondly, belief grows by seeking out and being with other believers. Somehow Mary knew, and the angel had mentioned her as an encouragement to her own belief. You talk about something out of the ordinary, what God has done. Look at Elizabeth. She's this old woman. And can you imagine this meeting? There's never been a meeting like this in all of human history. Here's an old postmenopausal woman who's 6 months pregnant. Here's a young teenager who's never been with a man who's pregnant. This has never happened in the entire history of babies coming. This is unique and special and one of a kind. And so Elizabeth is in a unique situation. Mary obviously is in a unique situation. So they come together to find strength with each other. And it says in 41, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then she begins talking, which is the actual prophetic section we'll get to shortly. But here they come together to help each other. Now, if you skip down to verse 56, you see something very interesting in the text. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. We were told earlier in the text that Elizabeth is 6 months into her pregnancy. Mary shows up in the 6 months, stays three more months. 6 and 3 equals 9. I think Mary was there when John the Baptist was born. I think that's how Luke got all this information that the Spirit inspired him to record in Scripture about what Mary said and what Elizabeth said and what Zacharias said when he finally got around to being able to talk again. And it's all recorded for us. But they stayed together. What did they do? We just have this little snippet, this little excerpt, if you will, from their interaction. But for 3 months, they were together, encouraging each other and strengthening each other, praying with each other, maybe studying the Scriptures together. Helping each other. What a help Mary would have been to Elizabeth as she's carrying to the end of this pregnancy. What an encouragement Elizabeth, this older lady, would have been to Mary in this situation. Have you figured this out? You need God's people in your life and in your world if you want to really be growing in faith. There's something about the sharing we do together to see God at working in other lives. You've come this morning to gather as God's people. We did in our earlier service, and we're doing it now, and we gather frequently when God's people come together. We find strength in that. We find encouragement for that. I love it when I hear our combined voices just singing a hymn of praise to our God. I think God has a special place in His heart for the praises of His people when we gather together. Something that we've been working on for several years, and I love the progress that we're making is creating more and more opportunities for you to be with a smaller group of people and do life together. And we share that with you often. If you go to our website and you can find it easily, and there's a listing of groups and when they meet and who's involved, and talk to Pastor Adam, talk to me. But great opportunities just to be together because you draw strength from that. You grow close to each other. God never intended us to live in isolation. When the little animal gets separated from the herd, that's when it's in danger to the predator. Let's not get separated from the greater group of God's people. Belief also grows when the Spirit works. Look at verse 41. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. Now, we're told in verse 42 that this blessing that he gives, that Elizabeth gives, and then in 44, this blessing is expressed by this unborn child, John the Baptist, we know him as, was because of joy. So it seems as if John, in his unique role as the forerunner of Christ, was filled with the Spirit of God pre-birth. Can we say it this way? This was a prenatal worship service. I guess that's the only way I know to say it. But she identifies this excited, exuberant movement of the baby within her, reacting to being in the presence of God. You and I need to be exuberant and excited when we indeed are in the presence of God as well. May God help us to react that way. Now, it says here, if you go back to verse 41, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was working. And the words that she's about to say were given to her. Her utterance, her speech, her words were given to her by the Spirit of God. Here's something that's an open secret for us as believers. The same Spirit of God that caused her to speak indwells us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know that. We have that little fact stuck in a little file folder and filed away somewhere in our list of beliefs and somewhere in our thinking and our understanding. But the Spirit's work is primarily subtle. It's like watching something grow when you really can't watch it grow because you don't see it grow. You can only notice that it grows after the fact. My wife has been trying, and as I've told you before, she loves growing things and plants. And several times we've tried to put plants in my office here at the church. I've murdered a few. Actually, I would say it's involuntary manslaughter because I didn't mean for it to happen. Or plant slaughter, however you say that. But she's got two new plants, and she investigated some plants that are supposed to be very hardy, and you really have a hard time killing them. So they are now in my office. And this is a little text exchange we did this week because I came in, and one of them is sending up a new shoot, and one of them is getting a few new leaves. So I took pictures with my phone, and I sent to her, you know, here it is. And she sends back she'd found some new buds on her orchid that's blooming. And, you know, we just notice it's grown. You don't see it grow. If you think about this, in the Spirit's work within us, you don't see the growth, but it's going on. It might be painfully slow. It may be almost to the point of unnoticeable. But we need to rest assured and live with the confidence that God indeed has curled up inside of us, and He's reordering us from the inside out. Now, we can cooperate with that, or we can not cooperate with that. How do we cooperate with it? We listen to the Word of God, and we learn, and we live the Word of God. We hear what He says, we do what He says. We walk in observance, and we walk in obedience to His Word. And then He empowers us from the inside out. Now, you don't have to do anything to get it. You just have to be aware of it, and count on it, and cooperate with it. But if you want to have your faith growing in that space between promise delivered and promise fulfilled, you got to remember to take some serious consideration of your life. You need to make sure you're mixing it up with God's people. And you need to remember and cooperate with the fact that the Spirit's working on the inside out. Fourthly, belief grows by seeing God at work. Verse 42, 43, and 44. You don't see this in most English translations. You see it in 46 and following, where Mary's song is given. You see it in verse 67, the same chapter through 79, where Zacharias makes a statement that it's set in verse, like poetry. In Hebrew, literally, those three verses, 42, 43, and 44, are verse. It really is the first worship hymn of the New Testament. It's the first carol. It's the first statement of praise. And as it spills out, here's what she says. Verse 42. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." There's the prophecy. There's the statement. There's what we can hang on to today. By seeing God's work, the fact that Elizabeth calls Mary out and says, "You're uniquely blessed. The child you're carrying is blessed. I am blessed. What blessing that I, what right do I have to be in the presence of my Lord?" By the way, when it says that the mother of my Lord should come to me, Luke is telling us, very beginning, first chapter of the book, multiple times, frankly, but here very directly, that he believed and understood that Jesus was fully God, fully divine, fully God in every aspect. There's a translation of the Old Testament Hebrew Scriptures. Between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament, most people spoke Greek, and that became the kind of the universal language of that part of the world. So many of the Jews wanted to make sure that the scriptures could be understood by a now predominantly Greek-speaking audience and less a Hebrew-speaking audience. So in Alexandria, Egypt, they translated the entire Old Testament from Hebrew into Greek. We call it the Septuagint. And when they chose a Greek word to translate the Hebrew word, Yahweh, or that unpronounceable word of God, the name of God, that name when the Hebrew scribes would write it, they would destroy the quill after having written it because it was so holy. They would never even fill in all of the vowels of it because they didn't want to write it out in totality because they weren't worthy to write the full name of God. The translators of the Septuagint took a Greek word, kurios, and translated it for Yahweh, and we have it in English as the word Lord, L-O-R-D. That's the word he uses. So it's a way of saying that Luke is telling us that she was saying that the mother of my Lord, the mother of God, the mother of this one who is God. If anyone ever knocks on your door and tells you that the scriptures don't ever claim that Jesus was God, shut the door quickly. Politely, but shut it quickly. That is an absolute falsehood that the scriptures do not teach. But notice this work, this sharing. She's saying what she's saying. She called Mary out for her work. And that's part of how we see God at work. I can sometimes see things that you can't see, and you can see things that I can't see. Call it out. Hey, did you see God at work over there? Hey, did you see what God just did in your life? Did you stop and ponder the works of God? All of these things help us grow in our faith and live by faith in this space between promise delivered and promise fulfilled. We had two funerals this week, two members of our church, both in their mid-90s, one service on Monday, one on Friday, and being in attendance at those, there was an opportunity in both occasions because as these ladies grew older, they needed care from their family, and the family was gathered, opportunities just to say to the families, you were the hands of God in these ladies' lives. Don't forget that what you have done to serve is part of God's calling for you in your life. Call that out. Hey, God worked right there. God blessed. And again and again and again, it happens. We live here in a culture, here in West Virginia, I think particularly, that we were taught, don't share too much about yourself. You know, don't ever brag on yourself. You know, just kind of be brave. And we sometimes are hesitant to talk about the work of God. I remember years ago, my grandmother told me one time that she said, I don't know exactly how she said it, but something to this effect, she said, she just wasn't a fan of Johnny Carson. And at that time, he was, you know, comedian, TV star, Tonight Show, all that. And I remember, oh, why don't you like Johnny Carson? She says, because he laughs at his own jokes. You know, if you tell something funny, you don't laugh at your own joke because that's like you're bragging. I've been very aware of this ever since. My solution is just tell things that aren't really that funny, and then I can restrain the laughter for it. So, you know, we're just taught, don't talk about certain things. Don't brag on anything. Oh, but friends, brag on God all you want. You have license. You have freedom. You have permission to brag on our Lord, because no matter how much good you say about Him, you will never exaggerate. No matter how much you pack into your statement about God, it will never be sufficient to describe the marvelousness of the work of Almighty God. Call Him out. Have others in your life call Him out. See His work. And sometimes what you see Him doing doesn't really affect me. You know, I'm praying for a need in my life, and God hasn't answered yet. I'm living in this land between promise made and fulfillment, but I see over there, God did something spectacular for those people over there. It may not be for you, but the fact that you see God working over there strengthens my faith in here. Because we know God is able, and we know He can, and we know He cares. And there's things about His work in our lives that's a mystery. And we will never, ever get it all put together. But belief grows by seeing God at work as we detect it. And look at what she says. Blessed are you among women. You're uniquely placed. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. We've already talked about that. Why has the Lord granted me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? the privilege that she felt. For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing she reminds us of. But then there's verse 45. She makes this statement. Blessed is she who believed there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now, she's come here. We've been seeing God at work. We need to share. By the way, if you've not been there, visit our website and find the link. It's on the main page where it says Stories of Faith. There's 14 of them on there. We put 14 videos on there, people sharing their faith, their story. By the way, we'd love to put some more on there. Just let me know and we can do that. We'd love to do that, just to see God at work. But be encouraged by that. But then there's one more. Belief grows by sticking around and waiting for the fulfillment. In other words, just don't give up your faith. Don't quit believing. Keep hanging in there. Keep holding on. It says, blessed is she who believed. And by the way, that's all present tense. You can be blessed in the here and now, Mary. In this land you live between the promise given and the promise fulfilled. You can have, and the blessing is that you believe. The blessing is you have someone to trust in. The blessing is you are tapped into the great and the mighty plan of a wonderful, loving, caring, merciful, gracious, patient, tender, gentle God. You're blessed that you believe. If you're a believer this morning, there's blessing just in belief. And then she adds this extended section to it. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which are told her from the Lord. Everything God says, God does. He oftentimes just doesn't do it on the timetable we might prefer. By the way, now we know Elizabeth has a baby. It's in this chapter. Mary has a baby. It's in the next chapter. We have the rest of the story of Christ. We know he lived, he died, he rose again, all those things. But if you just take a moment and go back into chapter 1, a few verses, where it says in verse 32 and 33, this was our prophecy from last week. Notice what it is that she's really to be waiting for. It's not just to have a baby. It's not just to have a Savior. It's even beyond that. Verse 32, he will be great and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. During his 33 years upon this planet, Jesus Christ never sat on the throne of David. He never reigned over the house of Jacob. Now, plus 2,000 years later, that fulfillment still waits. We get back into Revelation after the first of the year. We're going to see that kingdom come in the Scriptures as the prophecy rolls out. But Mary waited. And ultimately, the prophecies that she was given, it's still waiting. What do we do while we're waiting? Blessed is she who believed. Just keep sticking around waiting for the fulfillment. And the vast quantity of the fulfillment of promises, there's many of them in this life. I don't want to degrade that at all. But the vast promises of God are in the life, yet, future, and eternity. And that's where we need to focus our attention. Keep sticking around. Keep trusting. Now, there's one more promise I want to talk about, and one more blessing of faith. And especially, maybe you're a guest of ours, or maybe you've been coming for a while, but you've never come to the point that you've embraced faith in Christ. And we understand. Sometimes there's a lot to process, a lot to figure out. But I'd just like to share with you, if you'd allow me, a couple verses found in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, it says, for by grace are you saved through, next word is key, through faith. Faith is, from the human side, how we access the great gift of God in salvation. And if you're wondering what salvation is all about, the thing you need to focus on and where you need to get to is belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died on the cross for you. Believe that he is the only Savior of the world. And that verse goes on to say this, because this negates a lie that sometimes we've been fed. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Not saved by doing stuff. Not saved by not doing stuff. We're saved only by faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Here's the place you need to enact faith, and this is where you start. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ, your Savior, you're welcome to find one of us as pastors that you've seen up here this morning, or maybe a Christian friend you've come with. We'd love to share with you, pray with you, answer your questions, as it were, lead you to meet the Savior this morning. That invitation stands even as we conclude this service. But what about us who are already past that point of belief? You see, our faith grows by seriously considering our life, seeking other believers, knowing that the Spirit's at work, seeing God at work, and just sticking around waiting for the fulfillment. It can grow, it can grow. But we also understand that we reside in this land of faith between promise and fulfillment. I just want to ask you the question. When it comes to the reality of your heart and your life, maybe as an act of worship, we just need to renew as believers our confidence in the Lord and our seriousness of living for Him and growing in Him and being in the Word and being part of His church. Are you currently residing in the land of faith?
You've been listening to the radio broadcast of Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston. Mount Calvary Baptist Church is located at 1509 Bigley Avenue in Charleston, West Virginia. Worship services are at 9 a.m., 11, and 6 p.m. For more information, contact calvarywv.com.